If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is How to Finish Well and Begin Anew. So, let's start anew by calling ourselves forward into the light through the lineages that we hold in spirit that give us the divine authority to operate in God's name upon this planet. So, take a deep breath. And we call ourselves forward through the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those upline lineages that represent each one of you as you present yourself for service on this planet. I call myself also forward to the spiritual traveler lineage, those that carry the codes of living light and the living word, and carry the keys of soul transcendence that enables us to bypass the lower laws and the snares of a planet that has fallen into a lower density. And these keys enable us to make those shifts through grace that set us free and liberate us to operate and live from higher spiritual consciousness. So it is the soul, the spirit, the Atma, that we call ourselves forward into alignment and attunement with, that transcends our human limitations of the emotions, of the mind, of the personal dysfunctionality. And through grace, we are bridged, as it were, where we fall short in inadequacy. We are bridged through to perfection and completion. And this is something that heartens us when we remember that the good work that the Divine Spirit has quickened in us will be brought to perfection and completion by that same Divine Spirit. So it's our willingness to position ourselves in receivership that enables the grace to bypass all of our shortcomings, to erase all of our errors, and to begin anew in every moment that we choose the loving grace of God. So let's just take a deep breath again. And allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come down over you like warm honey. Some of you may feel hot and chilled at the same time. And you may find your body starting to daven or move back and forth. Mine begins that process the instant I feel that connection and anointing take place. Observe these things when you call yourself forward and evoke your higher levels, for they give you reference points to when you're connected and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll only take a moment and take a deep breath with intention, and ask for that connection to be made and wait until it is given some evidence. And usually you'll feel that physically. That's the energy of the Holy Spirit that rides in on the electromagnetic field of the body that feels hot or chilled or causes the body to rock in response. Sometimes people will have a spasmodic kind of jerk that will take place. That's called a kriya. And that's when the blocks in the consciousness are being cleared to enable that higher vibration to source through. So whatever your process is, begin to observe. Know that the divine spirit is never stagnant. It's never the same any two moments. It is a dynamic, powerful force that we need to come into harmonic resonance with so that it can source through us without impediment. And the things that cause impediment are the things that we hold against others. Those others, beloved, are simply another you. In highest truth, it will become known one day to each one of us that there is only one divine spirit in incarnation is every single person. There really is no other. There is only the self and the many mirrors that reflect our own self back to us. Oh, I know, they look like people. They look like they're different in different bodies. But that's the grand illusion. There is no other. There is only the one divine life. And as we become more and more attuned and soul-infused and enlightened and monadically indwelt by the I Am presence, it will become obvious that only one is, and we are one, living in that life principle through all things. So this is our last seminar of 2011, as we prepare to enter the long-anticipated year of 2012. So what do you personally need to do to finish this year well, so that you can enter 2012 refreshed and anew and with a clean slate? You know, the Jewish custom is to have a day of repentance for the wrongs that one has committed in the previous year, a day of forgiveness and atonement. When you release everyone from any indebtedness that you feel they may owe you, and I think that's a great way to finish well and to begin anew in the new year. So first off, let's extend some mercy and compassion to our own self and the others we've interacted with over the past year. For a starter, are you aware that you and every single person on the planet is doing the very best that they know how? Yes, you are doing the very best that you know how to do, considering your level of understanding, your soul lessons or karma, and the tools that you have available to work with. Everyone is doing the very best that they know how to survive, cope, and get from moment to moment in their life. Yes, even that addict in the gutter, and that gal working the streets. So no one has sufficient information to judge another. No, not even yourself. So cut yourself and others some slack and extend mercy and compassion. And let's let everyone off the hook of condemnation, shall we? And as a huge key to getting yourself off the hook, why not give yourself permission to be loyal to the spiritual directives that you have been given, to your own higher self, your own conscience, and what you know within your own levels works for you. You can, quite up front with people, if you sense them trying to manipulate you, to state what you're committed to staying focused on in your own life, what you're choosing to participate in, and where you draw the line. You know, you can do that with people, energies, attitudes, activities. You alone decide what you're going to participate in. So don't allow anyone to run your life but you. Now, initially, this may cause some eddies and white water turbulence to appear in the river of your life events. But, you know, sooner or later, that river is going to find a way to accommodate you, as will the people who share your life. So always be true to your conscience and to your higher, wiser self that speaks to you as your conscience. The Bible states how important it is to do only what sits well in our conscience, that to do anything that violates our conscience, that is sin. And we violate our conscience when we do something that we know is not a wise choice for us, but we do it anyway, usually through fear of offending another, or because we fear their disapproval or their rejection. And that is actually allowing the ego, the false self of another, to control and manipulate you to your detriment. Never allow the darkness in yourself or in another to direct you. Allow only the Divine Spirit to lead and direct you. And again, that Divine Spirit speaks to the voice of your conscience. So to finish well in any area that you've energized and participated in, you need to complete your action. Now, you can do this in several ways. You can declare it completed at any point. You don't have to complete everything because, spiritually speaking, it was completed before you began it. Because everything is complete in creation in these lower dimensions. Everything is complete in the divine God realms that operate beyond time in the eternal now. So our process here in time sequencing is a repetition in time, a slowing down, if you will, to enable a closer scrutiny and another choice to be made, if that would be wiser to make another choice. But at any point in the time sequencing replay, if you will, you can say, cycle completed. I pronounce this complete and I'm not going to return to it. Or you can say it's complete unless I decide otherwise at another time. You can leave yourself some wiggle room there. However, it's not completed in the spiritual sense until whatever it is, it's brought to a place of balance, peace, and clarity within you. How you feel about a person or a situation lets you know if it's clear and balanced or not. So if it feels unclear and yucky, it is unclear and yucky. And you're not finished with it until it feels neutral or simply clear and loving. You know, where you don't have a ripple of disquietude mentally or emotionally, it's clear. So don't, you know, stir up mud where you don't have to. Your way of keeping yourself karmically free and living in soul transcendence above the law of karma is to keep maintaining a neutral, clear, and loving relationship as you move through your life. And the minute you feel an unbalanced action, which is going to repercuss within you as some form of peacelessness, you stop and you ask for the clearance. And you try to trace it back to where you stepped out of the loving and into the judging. That judgment sits with you, not the other person. Your karma and your issues are only with your own self. So you might be saying at this point, well, what if I'm just really pissed off and angry? Again, your job is first to handle your own upset. You have stepped out of your center and place of balance. But you alone will be held karmically responsible for your action. And you alone can clear that action. You might think, well, that's not fair. Who said it was fair? The law comes under the call power, the call Niranjan, the Lord of Darkness, the Lord and God of Negativity, that has governance over all of these fallen world systems. And you play it his way or no way, as long as you're under the law. And he is such a legalist, he will hold you accountable for every little jot and tittle. You won't get off the hook for a single farthing, as it says in the Bible. Every single coin will be paid. As the saying goes, hell will be paid. Unless you default to the loving grace of the Christ. When the Christ entered the scene, he created a higher way. A way that doesn't require your paying every single thing that the law holds against you. The call had to agree to let anyone free who willingly wished to enter into the higher light, that no one could be barred from that any longer. So you choose the light every time you turn to the Lord and cast, as it were, cast the negativity, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the unforgiveness, whatever is cluttering your divine flow, release it to the Lord. Because as you do, it simply dissolves back into the nothingness from which it's come. And if it has any redemptive ability, it is dissolved into loving grace. So, divest yourself of the terrible burden of grievance, a terrible, terrible yoke of bondage that the negative power would like to keep you in by exacerbating conflict. All conflict, all argument, all ugly energy is aroused by that negative power. And you've got to learn to be wise enough to discern it as it's headed towards you and to step out of the way and not get engaged and entrained in negative momentums. So, you can clear negativity rapidly if you simply recognize that you are off kilter and own it and ask the Christ-like to clear and restore your loving through grace. You need to ask for grace. Grace is what lifts you above karmic law and simply dissolves it into God's loving. Whatever was done in error simply vanishes in the love of God, because in essence it was an illusion to begin with. Only God and God's love is real and eternal. Everything else is a temporary appearance, basically illusory. So set your default setting to ask for grace. And whenever you don't know what to do, come back into balance and loving harmony by asking that it be restored, by releasing to the Lord whatever it was that clogged up your channel. What exactly is grace? Well, it's God's eternal love for you, God's unconditioned love for you, God's unmerited favor. So it isn't something that you earn. It is something that is given to you because of what and who you are eternally. How do you enter into grace? Well, basically, you love God. How do you love God? You love whatever is in front of your eyes. You start with yourself. You recognize you're doing the very best you know how, and you practice some compassion and some mercy towards yourself. And you know that no matter what it is you desire, you're going to have it because you will keep coming back here as long as you have a desire that can only be fulfilled here. Or you'll go to another planet that offers you a wider and deeper experience of whatever that desire is. So it's inevitable. Whatever you desire, you will have it at some point. So you don't have to be so frantic and needy and desperate. Once you realize that you live in a loving, completely loving, supportive universe that adores you as the Son of the Living God, once you realize that all creation obeys the authority vested in you by the Christ as the very light of this world, you will begin to live in grace. You will begin to honor and respect yourself and others. And so start with yourself. And eventually you'll come to a place where you realize that no matter what comes before you, no matter what happened, no matter what anyone said or did or projected onto you, that you consistently chose to love, release, forgive, and move on. You don't cling to the darkness. You open to the new, to the light. So, there is absolutely no error, no sin, nothing you could have ever done too great for God to forgive. If you sincerely feel sorry and ask God to forgive you, in that very instant, God's loving grace erases that completely from your record, and you can begin anew. Through grace, you don't have to pay the price if you've already learned the lesson. However, you must also forgive others in order to be forgiven yourself. Because God truly sees each one of us as his one and only, very uniquely begotten Son. God has only one uniquely begotten Son, and that is you and me and everyone. This is another one of those strange truths. So, to finish 2011, and to finish it well, we need to have our own day of repentance and atonement, where we make peace within and without, with all that has gone down over the past year. Or years, if need be. And keep asking the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance anyone or anything that you need to hand over to the Lord and to forgive and release, or have forgiven and released into his redeeming love. And one of the best ways to heal your heart from resentment and offense is to pray blessings over the very person who offended you. And the Bible says to overcome evil with good, and to pray for those who persecute you, who offend you, who despitefully use you. And if you still find yourself upset, then try this. Every time that person comes to mind, say, you can say it silently or out loud, I love you. God bless you. The peace of God be with you. I love you. God bless you. The peace of God be with you. It's amazing how when you say that, it begins to immediately dissolve the angst and the anger and the upset. It just kind of drains out the negativity. So just saying that in your mind will begin to shift your mood from upset, which comes under the law of karma, into the grace zone of forgiveness and balance. And you'll feel better immediately. And just keep doing it every time that thought arises. Don't think about the wrong or the offense. Just keep saying that every time it tries to enter your mind, until the loving power of these words dissolves all of the negativity. And as disciples of the Christ, we cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. We must train our human lower nature to forgive everyone, everything, all the time, no matter what, and to allow the grace and loving to set us free from karmic retribution. So to finish well, we will need that covering of divine grace to dissolve any unresolved issues. And remember, the only karma you have is with yourself. The only issue is what you have made an issue with your own attitude. And how would you like this all to end? You know, what are you making more important than the peace and love of God? Really look at that. And learn to ask for only what you would like to have happen in any given situation. Sometimes in counseling married couples, I will ask them, how would you like this dispute between you and your spouse to end? And I have almost never, ever heard a spouse on the verge of divorce say that they really wanted a divorce and separation. Really, what they wanted was forgiveness and love and acceptance and to find a way to start anew. And that's, I think, true for all of us, whatever our situation is. We would all like it to end well. We just don't always know how to end things well. And what I'm suggesting here is that you don't try to do that by yourself. The grace has to come to you to bridge your inadequacies. Because in the lower self, we have a body that's still under the curse of the fall. We have a planet that's still basically negative, that prefers darkness to light. That's just the way things are down here. So to marshal that strength that comes from your higher nature really takes a commitment and a choice on your part. So you alone set the altitude of your attitude. And you can always choose to forgive and release and allow love to win rather than your ego, which is always going to find some cause to be offended. So a good thing to write on a 5x5 card and park around your environment is always choose the loving. Always. That's perhaps the single most powerful key to keeping yourself from accruing karma and indebtedness. Speaking of which, another very important key to releasing yourself from financial bondage and indebtedness is to forgive and release anyone who owes you money or anything. Anytime you feel that someone owes you, you're binding yourself to the law. Okay? The law is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, we're all going to be blind and toothless if we follow that long enough. And I'm serious here. My own money problems ended when I made a gift of whatever monies I thought people owed me, which at that point was quite a bit. I chose to make a gift out of the debts. Wherever I could, I notified that person and told them that I wanted to turn their debt into a gift with no strings attached. You know, what happened in my life was nothing short of miraculous. And by the way, it's just as effective to do this in your mind if for some reason that person cannot be contacted physically and told. But the energy that this released in me was absolutely mind-boggling. It was like all of the blocks that I had actually held in place by holding debt against someone was absolutely released. And when you think of it, really, what business do we have assuming ownership over the money we have, when it is only God who gives the power to succeed and to attain wealth? God is the only provider. You know, to think that there's anyone else that has any kind of power on the earth is to court illusion. So we're all learning a powerful lesson here, that whatever we bind another to, we have bound ourselves in. And that is the way of the world and of karmic law, to sue and to pursue another for monies owed or whatever. But that's not the way of grace. Grace trusts the Lord to resolve the matter and to meet justice, whatever that is that needs to be dealt with. That's not your job. So whatever we deny another, we've actually denied to ourselves. As A Course in Miracles states, I can but deprive myself, and I can but give to myself. So no matter who it is or what it is that you give, you're only giving to yourself. I know that makes absolutely no sense to the ego. The ego lives by the law of chaos, which says if I give, I have less. If I give, I'm denying and depriving myself of having more. And if I give anything to anyone, they owe me one. That is the ego's law of chaos that it lives by. So it's a very different way to live by grace. And this is the age of grace. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. And the Christ can only return to us individually when we have cleared that stable of all the poop, of all the stuff that we have pooped on and allowed to have poop on us. We got to clear out that mess, so the Christ child can be born in a clean place in that manger. And the manger is the heart. And that stable is our life, filled with beasts, all kinds of animal proclivities that are the remnants of the previous evolution of consciousness through myriads of forms. But now that we finally earned a human birth, it's not to remain a human, but to gradually evolve beyond the human state into the superhuman state, and from thence into degrees of higher and higher attunement and alignment until we manifest the nature and the mind of Jesus the Christ. The same perfect sonship and perfect oneness with the Creator that he exemplified. That's really the curriculum that God has in mind for each of us. So right now, as we move into 2012, we're getting ready to make a quantum leap in consciousness, a shift. Some think it will be a shift so dramatic that we'll go on in an entirely different state, that we'll be born anew into an entirely different state of being. I hope that's true. I really do. I don't know that that's so, but I hope it is. I think most of us would like it to be that way. Where suddenly we're just, you know, divinely transported into a higher state of consciousness, and all the mess of our ego mind is just somehow rebooted and reconfigured into a more, you know, divinely congruent manifestation. One thing I can tell you for sure, we're not going to be destroyed. The planet's not going to be destroyed. You don't have to jump out of the window or plan suicide. That's totally not in order here. It's never in order. Everything's going to be just fine. The greatest masters on the planet say we need to get back in touch with ourselves, with nature, with God. Some of us haven't seen nature for a long time because we live in concrete jungles or in people stacker high rises where our feet never, hardly ever touch the ground. You know what? You aren't where your body is. You're where your consciousness is. You can be on the top floor of one of those people stackers and your feet can never even touch the good earth, and you can be connected in your mind, in your consciousness, in your loving. You can sit in your people stacker cubicle and be connected to everyone and everything throughout all of creation. What is that called? That's called the Christ consciousness, the unified field, the quantum universe. You can call it anything you want to. But you are where your consciousness is focused. Bear that in mind. The body has no power to limit the omnipresence of your divinity. It has no power to limit the omniscience of your knowing, nor the omnipotence of your authority that you carry as a conscious bearer of light. The only one that can limit you is your choice for grievance, is your choice to harbor and nurture your lower self. That's the only thing that poses a block to your living in the kingdom of heaven and the heart of God consciously all the time. So every time you're not really resonating the joy and the peace of God, the only place to look is within yourself and find out what you have made wrong. Who have you maligned in thought, word, or deed? And yes, thoughts count just as if you'd done them. In fact, it's been demonstrated that to think of doing something is the same as doing it. It registers the same neurological responses as if you'd done it. The mind can't tell the difference from what you have imagined and what you've actually acted upon. That's why Jesus said that whosoever looks upon another with lust has already committed adultery with them in their minds. And whosoever harbors anger, Jesus has likened to the same who has murdered. So if murder is equated the same as anger, and to even think of lust is equated the same as having committed adultery, how fine-tuned our consciousness needs to be to discern how to stay in the clear, pure energies of higher consciousness. That's why eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And you need to participate fully in the vibrancy of spirit as it moves things towards you and through you and around you in your life process. That's why that intention needs to keep constantly be towards God. As you intend towards God, which is a form of consecration, personal consecration, that evokes the response of grace into your life. And when grace meets your devotion and your consecration, you have the perfect manifestation of the grace of God active in your life. So it's your effort met with God's response that enables you to walk in that crucified form where you become the living Christ, the living sacrifice of the lower nature upon the cross of time and space. That leads to the death of all that is false and illusory and the renewal and complete immortality through the resurrection. That is the path before each one of us. So to finish this year well, or this incarnation well, because we never know when it's going to be finished and we're going to be called home, forgive everyone everything and release everyone from any indebtedness. And watch absolute miracles happen when you do that. Also, if you give anyone anything, be it money or whatever it is, give it freely without any expectation of return or incurring indebtedness for that person. For if, God forbid, either you or the other should depart before that debt was repaid, there would be a karmic situation that you'd have to return to balance in some way. So keep yourself free and keep others free. And you do that by not incurring debt and not to allow anyone to feel indebted to you. Now, if you keep in mind that God alone is your supplier and provider, that will help you to keep your ego from projecting a false sense of ownership onto others. In addition to releasing others from indebtedness, remember that 10% of your gross income, called a tithe, is designed to go to the Lord's work and is how you seed for your provision in the future. The Bible says that that will supply the fullness of your larder, of that your barn will be filled with grain and your vat filled with wine. These are symbolic of the provision that comes when you sow seed into things of eternal value. So the Lord's work is whatever is serving others and advancing His kingdom and His love in this world. And it's also whatever you are receiving spiritual nourishment from, your church, your spiritual teacher, whatever it is that feeds you consistent spiritual nurturing and nutrition, you are to seed and sow tithe into that. And your tithe assures your provision and abundance. And in addition to the tithe, you're also instructed in the scriptures to plant monetary faith seeds. If you have a specific need, you seed for that need. And you also donate to good humanitarian causes. These are all ways to ensure that you're going to have an abundant life where your needs will always be met. It's a spiritual law. It's the only time in the scriptures where God says, "Prove me now herewith. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth such a blessing into your life that you cannot even contain it." So that's the one time you can put God to the test. So, with these practices, you will have finished 2012 very well, and you will be setting in place the guidelines that will enable you to begin 2012 in a new way, with a sense of peace and clarity. So to begin 2012 really brilliantly, why not choose in the next few days to rededicate yourself to your chosen ideals and to living the values that you espouse? Why not consecrate yourself to the light, to the Lord, to the Christ, and renew your dedication to loving and serving ever more selflessly? You know, you could create your own special ceremony of rededication and commitment to the Lord. You could, for example, light white candles and maybe write out your commitment and read it aloud, however you wish. But make that rededication very special for you. You know, we've all been waiting for 2012 for a long time, many of us at least. December 21st, 2012, is supposed to be the end of the 20-year Ascension Bridge cycle. Now, none of us know exactly how this will play out. I think back when it started 20 years ago, we all thought we'd be off the planet by now in radiant bodies of light. Well, maybe we are on some level. We just haven't caught up with that part of us yet. We all look pretty solid. We all look like we're still playing the same karma dramas and doing the same shtick. What's wrong with that picture? I don't know. Maybe there's something right with the picture, but we just haven't gotten the picture right yet. So I think if we take, again, responsibility over our household of consciousness, and really commit ourselves again and again, as often as it takes, to keep reminding ourselves that our wholeness is our holiness, that our wholeness, our shalom, is the whole spirit within us, which is the spirit of truth and revelation. It is that which renews and transfigures us from that which is flawed and mortal into that which is immortal light, into abundant life in the greater God worlds that we're now called to go forth into multidimensionally as co-creators with God. Don't think that you're going to ascend off into some bliss cloud somewhere to live a life of idleness. No, you're stepping on the fast track of genuine creation. As I've said before, these lower dimensions are all completed. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything is a recycling of that which has already transpired. But where we're going, in my understanding, is into the positive realms of spirit that are awaiting our entrance to begin to be created. That's why we're going to be co-creative spirits with the divine spirit. Now, you're not going to merge into an amorphous mass. You're going to become an individualized cosmic being, a cosmic creator that keeps expanding the realm of that creative sphere into eternity. It keeps expanding. I can't say anything more about it because I don't know anything more about it to say about it. But I think you get the picture. As my teacher John Rogers says, it's about etc. without a period. Etc. meaning ETC, eternally traveling consciousness. And as we've often mentioned, there is only energy and consciousness. in all of existence, energy and consciousness, the living word and the living light. And that coalesces in a perfect synthesis that we call the image and similitude of God, the Adam Kadmon, which is the absolute perfect configuration that we assume as we return to the original wholeness and consciousness from which in highest truth we've never departed. So to be known in the higher realms as we are known even now in spirit is what the revelation is all about. Sometimes people call that God realization. I had the privilege of spending many years with a God-realized avatar. That's the only reference point I have for that. But the God-realized avatar experienced himself living as the dweller in every heart, so that the experience was one of seeing from within everyone as if it were his own incarnation. That is something we can appreciate, but not really understand. Of course, a miracle said that it is very rare that anyone ever moves into those levels and retains the physical body. So it's not a practical goal, according to the Course in Miracles. So while we are here, the purpose of the world is the forgiveness of God's Son. Forgiveness being entirely unnecessary in highest truth, because nothing that anyone ever did out of their lower self was real to begin with. But nevertheless, we must forgive what appears to be an offense while we're still here, caught up in human identification. As I said before, the Holy Spirit is faithful to complete the good work that he has begun in you and me. We will not be forsaken. We will not be left behind. We will not miss the opportunity. My teacher has always taught that not one single soul will be lost. That when Jesus went to the cross, all that needed to be wiped off the slate was wiped off through grace. And the reinstitution into our own spiritual promise was secured for us and safeguarded. How soon we choose to receive it is left up to us. So in time, it appears that we have some say as to the timing. But the goal and the success of our attaining it is secure. There is nothing you can do to mess it up, because it's God's will. And that's another thing. Your will is identical to God's will when you have dropped your ego's agenda. God's will and your will are one. And believe it or not, God's will for you is perfect wholeness, perfect health, perfect abundance of all good things, perfect love, eternal life, and happiness. And your happiness and your divine function are one, because when you're serving your divine function, you are happy. And you have that sense of well-being. Boy, you know when you're in the very center of God's will. You just know it, because there is just no no glitch in that. You simply are aware. You're exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to do. And again, that has very little to do with the actual details of your material life. It's an inner state. Everything is an inside job spiritually. It's all an inside job. You're always working in your consciousness, and you're always working with the energies that you are sourcing and coming into agreement with. So join only with the Holy Spirit. Do not ever join with the ego or the darkness or the confusions of the lower self. Choose the peace of God. Choose the love of the Christ. Choose the will of the Father, and you will be truly made new at any time, not limited to 2012. So that is a great good focus, I think, for our entrance now into 2012. I would like to close with a reading from John Roger, my spiritual master. If you surrender to the truth of grace that already exists within you, you will be in alignment with all things holy. Grace is actually the glory of God. From our level, the only grace is loving God. If we start to love God, we have stopped the judgments and the negativity. And that allows grace to be extended. After grace is extended, the next process is glory. And glory is the essence of the Lord coming upon you. John Roger. So I wish you all a most blessed and refreshed and renewed entrance into 2012. And let's go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath.